shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and a very pleasant good evening to you. And be sure to join us at philhenryshow.com. If you haven't yet, get a backstage pass, watch our live streaming video of the show. We're in our loft this evening, and behind me is a steady stream of slides and interesting shots of me in different incarnations of the show, and we just sort of glorify and we celebrate me.
Yeah, you know, you say that as if you're kidding, but you're not really kidding.
Is that right? I'm not really kidding.
Well, somebody had, and may I?
Go ahead.
Someone had called, by the way, I'm Margaret Gray.
Yeah, this is Margaret Gray and Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman. Like I was saying to you guys, it seems like we never leave the studio. Weren't we just talking?
Yes, we were just talking. Before the show started, we were having coffee. So that...
What a chop.
Well, that's a heavy chop, man. Go ahead, Margaret.
Well, now, what was I going to say?
You were going to say that, oh, yeah, my ego.
No, it wasn't your ego, but a man had written or had called and had said, why are all these pictures of Phil Hendry on the website? What is with all of these pictures? And I have to be honest with you, Phil, I agreed with him to a degree because I felt there was something that was rather smarmy, and almost a sort of smarmy arrogance.
What do you mean smarmy?
Could you speak into the microphone, please?
Yeah. What do you mean smarmy?
Don't speak that close. I just got your breath.
Well, you asked him to speak into the microphone.
I didn't ask him to come up and go, God.
Sorry, I mean,
chicken cacciatore, I had some too, is very good.
Your aunt made chicken cacciatore?
Yeah.
Why wasn't I informed of this?
Dude called you up and said you want to come get some.
Can we continue with what it was I wanted to say?
Yeah, but you were talking about chicken...
No, I was talking about his breath.
Oh, okay. Well, that's because he had chicken cacciatore and I wanted to...
Phil, I don't care. I don't think the audience cares. I'm increasingly bemused by the fact that I'm trying to say something and you want to talk about chicken cacciatore. If you ever want really good chicken cacciatore... You knock on my door.
Where, here?
No, at my... I don't want him walking up to the door.
All right, okay, So in other words, the guy... I remember when the guy called or he commented, right? On the comment section?
Yes, and he said, what is with all these pictures?
All right, and I said, what's the show about? It's about me, isn't it? So why wouldn't there be a lot of pictures of me? You know?
Yeah, but why don't you have pictures of the news stories of the day?
Yes, like, for instance, there's a picture of President Obama. He's striding across the grass there at the White House. Very handsome man, very purposeful stride. Why not have a beautiful picture of the striding president?
Because that's not what the show's about. This is not a news talk show, so we have pictures of me, and they're weird. I wouldn't say that they're all very flattering. You know, it's really interesting, that guy that, you know, had made that comment, he's saying, you know, all these pictures of Phil. Well, I mean, look at half of them. I look like some kind of a gargoyle, man. I mean, they're weird. There's pictures that are blown up, like far too large. There's one of me fat. You know, I got all these fat pictures of me. I don't shy away from those pictures, you know. A lot of guys that do that shy away from, I don't want to see any pictures of me when I was 300 pounds. All right, I want the skinny me. Just put the skinny. I don't, you know, that's not life, you know. I got on one of the fan pages. We ought to, in fact, I'm going to put it on the homepage very shortly. We'll do a...
do a like an evolution.
Yes, from when you were skinny to when you got fat, and then the fat down back down to what you are now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I can find some pictures of myself.
Yeah, you're going to have to go back a lot of years to find them before the fat. BF, you know.
BF, I like that.
BF.
Yeah, be like, here's a picture from 20 BF. Before fat.
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea.
It's a bad idea. I mean, well, maybe. I don't know.
You gotta learn to laugh at yourself, Mr. Hendry, and have fun with life, you know? Just hail well fellow met. And slap yourself and paddle, but...
I get the idea, bud. Thank you. BF.
Well, we do need to have some sort of a delineation, if you're going to do that.
Oh, we do we? all of a sudden, everybody's weighing in on this idea of me having pictures of myself when I was skinny. And let me tell you something. The last time I was skinny, I had to have been 25 years old. So let's just get the word skinny out of the equation, because I got a couple of pictures of myself. In fact, they're in the Henry family album that we have posted over on Facebook. I want to get that off of there and get it over here onto our website, which is where it was. And then we changed a bunch of stuff, and then I lost it. Now it's out there in the internet world, and now people are using it, and they're wiping their rear ends with it. Thank you very much. Now, so I'll have pictures of myself.
Yeah, like you, if when you were a kid, you're 25?
Yes, I was 20. What do you mean?
When you were skinny.
Yeah, when you were skinny, you were 25.
Yes.
All right. Now, when did you start to lose the weight? When you got fat, we all know that. We all saw what happened. I mean, we are all witnesses to what happened to you. All right? We all had to sit and watch, and we witnessed something that we'll never forget.
And, all right, Robert, okay? Don't talk about it like it's the Fukushima going off, okay? Just, you know, I got fat.
All right. So now you go from the time you was 25, and then you got fat. How many years? How many years until you got, like, 300 pounds?
Well, I was 25 years old in 1977. I hit 300 pounds in the summer of 2011. Is that right? Yes. And, yeah. God, I don't remember, man. 2010. So that was 33 years, okay?
Right. So you were skinny at 33 BF.
Yeah, just like they'd say 32 BC.
Will you guys knock it off with the 33 BF?
Well, it just means before fat.
I know what it means. It doesn't have any meaning. What are you going to do with it? What do you know? I can't use that. I can't handle that. I can't fondle that. I can't play with that. I can't juggle it. You know,
you might be able to stroke it.
I might be able to stroke it. In any event, so we'll do that. We'll put pictures up there. There's a skinny one of Phil now as he progresses. I got one of me golfing in Miami. Oh, baby, it's a real sad shot. Yeah, it's a sad. I was still tucking my shirts in. So in other words, the fat had begun. The gargantua, as what I called the inexorable gargantuing of Phil, began. And there I was in Miami for one of our charity golf tournaments, and I was wearing a pair of shorts and I had on a golf shirt. And everything was tucked in. That was mistake number one.
Because why?
Because his gut hung over the belt and everything.
Hey, bud, you know, I didn't hear you. Could you say that louder?
Well, yeah, man, I'd give you a little loud.
Well, she wanted to know.
Who's she? Are you talking about me?
Yes, ma'am.
Then you can say Margaret wanted to know.
That's respectful, bud.
All right. But your gut hung out.
I know. So I got this picture of myself in Miami with the gut hanging out. I'm like, oh, God, that's a freaking weird, that's a bad picture, man. And then, you know, that was our first tournament. Then we had a second tournament in August of, hold on for a minute. Hold on for just a moment, okay? No, but then we had a second tournament. Tell you what, let's take a break, and we'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
One of the things that I haven't updated you guys on is this whole I poke smart thing. I found out who he is. We have his name. We have his name. We know where he lives. He's very angry. He's very upset. He has targeted my home not once but twice now, as recently as just a few minutes ago. He is harassing this home, and I know what his name is. And the only thing that keeps me from putting it out on the air right now is pity, is mercy, because I've got so many people that like me. So many people that enjoy this show, and so many people that want to look out for me. I'm afraid for his safety. I'm afraid for his safety. Now, the only thing that I've done wrong is do a radio show. But this dirty, filthy, stinking little thief who is employed by the Alabama Air Guard. Now, I don't know what you guys do in the Air Guard, the Air National Guard, or whatever. You got a guy working for you a subcontractor of some kind who has conducted a campaign of harassment against me, my home, which is what got this guy on my death list to begin with. It took me exactly 1 month, maybe a month and a half, to find the guy. After he targeted my home, I found him. Because he's a psychopath, which means he can't lose, he's decided to continue the harassment. Even though I know his name, I know where he lives, I know the toilet bowl dump that he lives in Scottsdale, Arizona. I know the address. You got some pair on you, man. You know, I don't know what you think you're going to do. This guy's pushing 40 and he lives like a bum. Why am I saying this on the air? Because this is what I'm having to live with, so I might as well just go public with it. Now, I know the guy's name. I could go public with his name right now. What's going to happen to me? You think I'm going to get sued? You think this punk would sue me? This guy's conducted nothing more than a continuous campaign of harassment against me, my radio show, for the last 5-6 years. He's a thief. He is a criminal. He's violated the copyright of my material, trademark, you name it. And why is this? I think the guy's got some latent homosexual tendencies, to be perfectly honest with you, that he doesn't. He's like Dan White. He's like the guy that killed Harvey Milk. He's got this violent, tendency that he's burying his attraction to me in some sort of hostility. I don't know what it is. I mean, I'd love to be able to figure it out. I'm not a psychiatrist. But that's what's going on here. You know? Now, I blew his ass off of Twitter. Basically, I outed iPokeSmot. That was the name he was using. And I basically, and because he's got an ego on him, and because he's really angry at the fact that I got his account blown up over at Twitter, because I know who he is, I know every little account that he uses at Twitter, and basically got most of those shut down, and everybody is now, everyone's alerted to who this guy is. A lot of people already know your name anyway, man. And that's the way you want it, because if you're watching, and you are, the guy's a subscriber of mine, the guy gives me his money. Now, he's upset because he's a loser. This guy has some college degree in something that is not even a part of the radio field, but he wants to be on the radio. He thinks that he can be on the radio. He couldn't be on the radio. The closest this guy comes to a radio is maybe knowing how to turn one on and off. And he's angry because he was taking material that I own and he was streaming it illegally and I told him to stop. And for a sack of garbage like this, and these guys are sociopathic, they just want to do what they want to do. You don't tell them what to do. Well, you don't. He controls his world and he steals and he lies and he cheats and he harasses and he targets family members and he targets strangers. And I've got his picture. He's the ugliest son of a bitch you've ever seen in your life. You got a lot of, I tell you what, I poke smart. You got some real gall, man. Talking about my looks. Jesus, you are the ugliest bastard. The guy hates women. And he believes that he is going to somehow back me off. All you're going to do, man, is if you find me in the wrong mood, you're going to take a beating from me personally that you'll never forget. That's if you're stupid enough to come anywhere near me yourself. I'm going to have you thrown in a jail cell, man. I'm going to make you famous. Now, I told you I'd find out who you are, and I did. Do you think I'm kidding when I say I'm going to put you in jail? You think that's a joke? What's your mom and dad in Utah going to think? What's your family going to think? What are all these big shots that you say you know with the military? They're going to say, well, this guy's nothing more than some kind of a troll, some sort of a slimy punk who's been passing himself off as something else. I'm sorry to have to bring this out, folks, but I have been harassed in my home during my radio show by this individual, and I have to protect myself because it's damn sure anybody else going to do it. He scared the hell out of my daughter, and that I will never forgive. And that's what got him in the crosshairs, okay? That's what's going to get him put in jail. But I say it again to you, man. You want to avoid jail, you're going to have to meet me face to face. You haven't got the balls for that. I got news for I know that. However, I'm going to give you a chance to get a little manhood going. If you want to avoid a jail cell, you and I meet face to face. and you're going to keep your mouth shut, and I'm going to tell you how life is going to proceed. That's the only way this thing's going to work. Because, frankly, I told my attorney today, I want to meet you. I want to see you. I want to sit down across the table from you. And they're going to have to get some people between us because it'll take. And if you think, man, for 5 seconds that I won't jump across that table if you give me the wrong look and just go ahead and tear your head off, think again, man. You know, you are going to long regret the day that you're such a loser and you can't do anything with your life that you've decided to go out and make yourself public by being a pain in the ass little kid. You don't think I'll say your name in the air? I'll say your last name, say your first. I will out you. The only thing the only reason I don't do that is I don't want you to get killed. And I don't want anybody that is a fan of this radio show doing anything other than nothing. I'll do it. I'll deal with it. I don't want anybody doing anything. I'll deal with this guy. And we're going to do it legal. And when we're done with this guy, he's going to be in a cage. And then the only games you'll be able to play will be how to, you know, get yourself a pack of cigarettes, how to avoid being raped that day. I don't know what. You can play all kinds of games in jail. You can play all kinds of head games. It's outrageous. And I know you get a cheap kick out of this, but you don't understand what you're doing, man. While you're laughing, one thing about psychopaths, you guys don't plan for the future very well, and you do not know how to handle failure. And you're failing, man. You're failing in that I know who you are now. You're failing in that I know where your address is. You think that you or somehow can mess with me, and you're going to come out of this okay. You're going to get your ass beat. You're going to be in a wheelchair. I'm saying it right here. You hear that? You think I'm afraid of getting arrested? I could care less. I don't care. You come anywhere near my family again, I swear to Christ, you will be in a wheelchair. And you think I'm worried about cops? I don't care. I've been in jail. I'd gladly go back to jail for a piece of you, man. And I get a hold of you, and you won't be walking for months. And they'll long remember you, man, because I will definitely change things about the way your face looks, too. And as far as me getting arrested and thrown in a hole, I don't care. Doesn't bother me at all. You, it bothers you. You're worried about that. Because I know all about you. You are a gutless little psychopath who has to control everything around you. And if I sound angry, folks, I apologize. This has been occurring over and over again. This guy is amazing. He's got some obsession with me. Apparently, I didn't hire him once. Well, of course I didn't hire him. He's got no talent for anything. He's a thief. He's been violating our copyright, so we've had him shut down. That was it. I didn't care who he was, but it pissed him off. And so he started to harass me over on Twitter, started to harass me on Facebook, started making contact with me in my home, started talking to ex-girlfriends of mine. This guy's been in touch with every chick I've ever dated. Not that, you know, I mean, they can handle themselves, but the guy is really weird, man. I mean, I'm telling you, it is homoerotic. There's something that is bent about this guy. And he thinks it somehow scares me. All it does is piss me off. And because he has that kind of ego, he feels that even though he got already, now I know his name, and now I can locate him, he thinks somehow that's just an aberration, that he's going to win in the end. No, what's going to happen now is going to get worse. But you'll learn. Maybe we'll call your mom and dad. Maybe we'll have them intercede. Maybe we'll ask them. We'll say, you know, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, you know, your son is doing this, this, and this. He needs to stop. He's going to go to jail. Does your father or mother have any influence with you? Probably not. We could try that. Maybe your employers. You're failing downward, man. It was the U.S. Air Force. Now it's the Alabama Air Guard. No offense against the Alabama Air Guard, dude, but Air Force to that, you know, that's a step down. Maybe we'll talk to them. Maybe we'll talk to the people that you know, the people that employ you. Maybe I'll talk to you myself. I would love that. I would love that. You name the place and the time, you punk. And I swear to God, man, you better come ready for a beating. I mean it. You'll feel better.
Henry.
Well, I don't like it at all.
I'm telling you, Margaret.
Yeah.
It's out of my system, okay?
You made some statements there that were violent. It frightened me, Phil, very much. I don't like this side of you.
All right, I'm sorry. Can we move on?
Yeah, let's get into the comedy and everything. I'm sorry. Let's get...
You belching man?
Well, you were belching.
Sorry, yeah, I had a... All right, what's our first story? No, I don't want to... This is a terrible story, but a Toronto police officer... You know, I said this before the show, and just before we went on the air, I saw this story about this poor officer in Toronto, Canada, the Toronto Police Service. The first fellow officer to find Sergeant Ryan Russell dying on a snowy street after he was mowed down by a snowplow told him to hold on as she cradled him and felt his fleeting last breaths. There was blood everywhere, and she couldn't find a pulse. She was one of several witnesses who testified at the trial of Richard Catchcar, who's pled not guilty to charges of first-degree murder and dangerous driving in the death of the 35-year-old Toronto police officer. Witnesses said Russell tried in vain to stop the plow, backing away and firing shots at it in the seconds before it crashed into him. The impact knocked Russell over and spun his body toward the center of the plow, and its blade struck him in the head, fracturing his skull. Oh, God. Witnesses called 911, and Andrews and her partner arrived first, racing over to a man lying face down on the ground. I dropped to the ground. I tried to roll the body over. I ended up rolling him on top of me, and it was at that time I realized it was a police officer. There was blood everywhere. I put my right hand underneath his head. I could feel a hole in the back of his head. There was a lot of blood pouring into my hand. He wasn't conscious, but Andrews put her cheek just above his face so she could feel a slight warm air. What happened here, folks, is that they're making a claim that this man was hit and then left to die. Now, in this trial, this guy, this Richard Catchcar, there's already been testimony that he stole the plow at a Tim Hortons restaurant, which is a famous chain restaurant in the Toronto area, when two landscapers stopped for coffee around 5 a.m. on January the 12th, 2011, then drove around Toronto for 2 hours, hitting several cars and shouting about the Taliban, Chinese technology, and a microchip in his body. So, what do we got here, a psychotic? The judge has told the jury that there will be no dispute that Catchcar was the person driving the plow. Rather, the case will center around his mental state. The Crown alleges that he meant to kill this police officer. The police officer responded to calls about the errant snowplow, and when he caught up to it, the vehicle did a U-turn and came toward his cruiser. He reversed several meters and then got out of the car. The plow didn't swerve, it didn't brake, as it accelerated toward the officer Russell, who was then backing away and firing shots at the plow's windshield. How big is a snowplow that you... I guess they move pretty fast. Because you figure a young man, a 35-year-old guy, a police officer's got some athleticism, and obviously he does, is going to be able to find a way to get away from it unless he's cornered and this thing is moving at a rapid rate of speed. All six lanes of Avenue Road were otherwise wide open, the witnesses testified, but the plow drove directly at the officer, then continued on without slowing down. At that moment, the plow is bearing down on the officer, and I'm just holding my breath and hoping that this officer can get out of the way, said Vance Cooper, who was driving by at the moment. He's driving straight, no steering, no braking, no apparent effort to change course. There was an electrician on his way to work that morning. He testified he saw the plow hit this man, Russell. This officer, I saw half of his body almost. It was struggling on the ground and looked like the plow was dragging him about 15 feet. He was shaking, and all of a sudden, it stopped. Tow truck driver under cross-examination said that he thought that if the initial impact had spun Russell's body away from the plow instead of closer to its center, he would have survived. Man. So this is some guy. There was a guy that stole a tank. And he was in this tank, and he was driving up the 5 freeway down here near San Diego. It was near Camp Pendleton, I think. Or it was on a frontage road. This guy was in a tank, and he was driving over people, or he was driving over cars. I don't know if he hurt anybody, but it was a number of years ago. And you're figuring, okay, now here's a guy, he's out of his mind, he's got something, a few screws are loose, there's no question, and that's bad enough. Now the guy has the screws loose, and on top of that, guess what? This cat has a tank. Or a snowplow. You know, I've seen snowplows in the Midwest when I lived in, and I'm saying this to a lot of people that know what a snowplow is. There's a lot of people that don't. There's people living in a warm weather climate. So the snowplows are, you see them all the time when you live in snow. You see them salting the roads. You see all kinds of stuff that goes on, man. If you live in snow, and I again, there's people that don't, and they don't exactly know. I mean, there's all kinds of jazz. They're salting the road. By the end of the snow season, man, the bottom of your car's rotted out. And then the snowplows. And when I was in Atlanta in 1993 and they had snow, they didn't have any plows. They had to send out for snowplows. They had to go to other cities and find plows because they hadn't had snow like that in 30 years. So here comes this snowplow, and it hits this cop. It's just it's an ugly story, you know.
What were you? You were reading about Ed Gein last night. Why was that?
I was reading about Ed Gein last night.
Yes, you had out all of these books.
You got a manuscript about Ed Gein and looking at heads and everything?
Wait a minute.
There you were.
Well, I was looking at the Ed Gein stories because there was something that had happened. I think we were watching ID, right?
Well, every time we get off the air, ladies and gentlemen, Phil will watch Investigation Discovery. What's the name of the show?
Called New Detective.
New Detectives, yeah.
And why do you like that?
Because it's about forensics. It's interesting. It relaxes me. Don't ask me why. You know.
Relaxes you, man. You know, sit and look at cops and everything? And going through DNA and stuff like that?
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Well, how did they find Ed Gein?
How did they find Ed Gein? They went over and they arrested him. That's how they found him.
Yeah, but how did they know it was Gein? And what was that poem that was written by Rudyard Kipling where he goes, it was Gein, Gein, Gein.
You shut up. That was Gunga Din, not Gein.
Oh, he didn't say it was Gein, Gein, Gein.
No, he said it was Din, 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 Gunga Din. The famous Rudyard Kipling poem. It was Gein, Gein, Gein. I don't know. They found out about Ed Gein. What do you want to ask me about Ed Gein for? I don't understand that.
Well, there was something. It might have been the Alfred Hitchcock. Were you watching the There's something that happened last night that had you enamored all of a sudden of gutted people hanging upside down. What was it?
That, Margaret, that's absolute. That's a complete and utter ridiculous, asinine statement of what happened. Last night we were watching some on TV, and I started to look something up, and I got sidetracked into that whole Gein story. I think I'll tell you one of the things I wanted to find out about him was whether he was just like this guy is crazy, whether Gein was tried as a nut, and he was, I think.
No, he wasn't. This is where Ed Gein was tried as a sane man in 1968.
I try to keep telling you that, but you never want to hear about it.
No, you don't.
Well, somebody did, because I remember you said, hey, how come Ed Gein is not being tried as a mental case? And they said, yes, he was.
In 1958, when they put Ed Gein on trial, I believe that he was tried as a mental case. And then I believe there was a second trial because there were two people he was charged with killing. That's all, folks. Ed Gein, the psycho, the guy that started the whole... What are you laughing at, bud?
You said, that's all, folks, by Porky Pig.
Pork la Pig?
That's what he... It's Porky.
What? Who's the guy that invented the radio?
Edward Tesla?
He was Porkla?
No, it's not Porkla.
All day long, I try to tell him that. I said, it's not Porkla, Edward Porkla. He goes, hey, look at that Porkla, like Porkla Pig.
You got to be something. There's something wrong with you, man.
Something wrong with me? You're the guy who's all yelling, screaming about how you're going to kick a guy's ass and everything.
I got reasons to say that. What are you sitting there with Porkla Pig and Edward Porkla, man? So we got sidetracked again because I did what?
You said that's all, folks, and he thought of Porky Pig.
Okay, great. Good. Hey, nice one, bud, okay?
But it's Porkla.
No, it is not. In any event, so then they retried Ed Gein, or not retried him, but they tried him for the second murder in 1968 as a sane man, and he was convicted. But here's the thing that I love. He was convicted, he was tried as a sane man, convicted, and then he was put in the nut wagon. He was put back in the nut house.
Well, why is that unusual?
If you try the guy as a sane guy, if you're saying that he's not... I don't know. Doesn't that sound...
Well, there's a different standard, legal standard of insanity.
Yes, the legal standard for insanity is broader, I think. They'll say, well, if you know right from wrong. But in reality, the person may be crazy.
Well, there's something wrong with a system that says legally he's sane, but in reality he's nuts. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it does. That's the way the system works. Okay?
Oh, okay. And this is the guy that says it's pork la pig, is that right?
Until I get verification.
You know, you with the verification, same thing with Margaret last night. You know,
don't drag me into the middle of that, Phil. Last night, all I wanted was verification on a news story, whether or not...
Yeah, folks, if you weren't listening last night, Margaret was hanging around. She wanted to get that one last bit of verification that New York was still standing and hadn't been blown up by the North Koreans.
Well, don't say it like I'm some sort of mental case by the North Korean. You know, you go up on the microphone, Phil, and you try to emphasize... And you make me look like an ass.
Oh, you got to whisper again. Here we go.
That's right.
That whispering, it's going to drive me nuts.
That's because it reminds you of your mother. You've got a real problem. And there's a mother thing going on.
Yeah, but, well, that's right. There is a mother thing going on. But when you whisper, it reminds me of my mom.
Okay, Ed.
Yeah.
What is that supposed to mean?
Yeah, Mr. Gene.
Yeah, Mr. Gene.
Yeah, okay, Ed.
What is that supposed to mean?
Mother issues.
Do you believe that my mother issues are so profound that I want to go out and start shooting people and hanging them upside down?
Well, if you try that with me, you'll be the one hanging upside down.
Yeah, if Ed Gein tried it with Margaret, Ed Gein would be upside down with a sprig in his rear end.
Yeah.
A sprig?
Yeah, didn't they use garnish?
Did he use garnish? You guys, man, I'm telling you, it won't be long now. You talk about the booby hatch? I'm going to put both of you guys in it.
What? There wasn't any garnishing.
What do you mean garnishing?
Then we were reading that there was some kind of parsley.
Of the bodies that they found in Ed Gein's barn, parsley?
Well, that might have been the other guy, the cannibal guy.
Yeah, I'm sorry. There was another cannibal.
I don't even think Ed Gein was a cannibal.
Yes, he was. He had a variety of recipes. He was trying, and here's the tragedy of it, he was trying a new flambé. And the tragedy is, obviously, he'd murdered people, but... What?
That's not a tragedy.
I'm telling you, by God, it is a tragedy if there's a new flambé recipe.
No, it's not a tragedy if the guy that invented the new flambé recipe has just killed two people, and he's hung them upside down in a barn, and he's got a couple of heads in the icebox, and he's got leather masks and whatever the hell, you know...
No, not leather masks.
Whatever. That's the overriding concern, not whether or not this dude's flambé recipe got lost, is all I'm trying to say.
You are very condescending. Flambé recipe gets lost. It's very condescending, Phil. Very off-putting, not very attractive. And you know you're a very handsome man. You're a very alluring man. You're a man...
All right, Mark, I don't want to hear it, okay?
Yeah, it's getting me a little nauseous, if you don't mind.
You know what makes me nauseous?
Hey!
Kick his ass.
All right. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
You're laughing the way you did last night when the guy got cut in half by the shark and you fed the rest of him?
Yes, I'm sorry. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Ed Gein had a flambé recipe. Ed Gein had a flambé. Ow!
The difference is, welcome back, world famous Phil Henry Show. The difference is when a private citizen assaults, attacks, or harasses, all bets are off. See? Now you have become an individual. You have made the decision to place yourself front and center. When you come at someone who has a public forum like I do, and you harass that man in his home, and you are dumb enough to do it when the guy knows your name, then you are no longer protected by anything other than, you know, if you got enough money to hire a lawyer, because harassing somebody in their home, stealing their living by infringing. That's what copyright infringement is. I don't give a damn if people are don't understand it and think it's unfair. I don't care if I'm talking to 17 and 18-year-old boys who don't understand what it is to actually have ownership of a company and material, and they think it's like some groovy new world, man, where everybody owns everything. Yeah, it sounds great, except in practice, if I just decided to come waltzing into your house and say, well, okay, I'm sort of down with that, so I'll take this, 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 and this. I'll just take all your stuff. And, you know, I was talking to David Vincent with Morbid Angel. He's a musician. And we were discussing when Metallica went after Napster, and he was saying to me the same thing that I've been saying. It's incredible to me that we're not allowed to make a living, that we're supposed to just give it away, and we give it away and to people that demand this stuff for free, and they demand protection for themselves, like this sack of crap, like this punk face in Scottsdale, Arizona, this buck tooth. This dude has, I think, assets, because I've seen this cheesy two-bit fly-by-night looking gun sporting accessory thing that he's got, which I'm going to own, and I'll probably just sell it off, you know, try and make a couple of dollars on it. I bet you it's not worth anything. But I'll take it. I'll take anything you got, man. I will take it from you. See? And I'll do it legally. Although I would like to do it illegally. I would. That's where you push me to. I would love to just kick the door down to your house, man, and if you had a woman in your life, which you don't, but if you had a woman in your life, I would kick the door down, I would have her make me breakfast, okay, and then I'd just steal everything in your place.
I can't believe you just said, that is the most sexist thing.
Margaret, I'm saying it to piss him off. I wouldn't really do it.
Well, then you just told him that you wouldn't really do it.
I'm not going to really do it, because this guy, I think the closest he's ever come to a female is maybe a female fly that got into his house one night. Easy. I swear to God, John, you know, most of us, if we're dead, we can at least attract a female fly. I don't think you'd even do that. I think you'd want to attract male flies. All right, we're all done with that.
Well, that's what you said the last time. You sure you're done with it?
I'm done with it, yes. I'm done with it, okay? And I don't want to read any more stories about these poor police officers. The stuff was just absolutely horrific. Terrible, terrible stuff. All right, we're online at philhenryshow.com, as you know. And if you get a backstage pass, you can watch the live streaming video of our show as it is happening right now. It is a, you know, it's a beautiful thing. So get a backstage pass, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. And you'll have access to over 5,000 hours of material online. PhilHenryShow.com. Now, what is this? Harry Reid in the United States Senate. He has been wrong twice on, quote, $2.6 trillion cuts in a This Week interview. Are they making a big deal about this?
Yeah, see, this is what, and here we go with fact check. Oh, fact check. If fact check agrees, I hate fact check. You know why? Because people use it for their own purposes.
Right. Well, that's, you know, what do you think they're going to do?
And then they turn around and they say there's something wrong with it. If it doesn't, hold on. I'm sorry, Phil. I'm sorry, but...
Yeah, you know, you didn't give us a chance to eat. We had to go and have a Coke.
You know, where's that Szechuan chicken I bought?
Not my. Why is that up to me? You belched on the air. You've been doing that ever since you started working here.
Because of the Szechuan chicken. I'm trying desperately to get you to understand this.
What is it about Szechuan chicken that causes you to belch?
The spices that become then imbued. There's a marination that takes place in the digestive tract. Now, it's very good for you because the spices do enhance some of the macro... Okay, macrobiology.
Yeah.
Don't go, yeah, and throw your hands up, Phil. I'm explaining something.
All right.
I give up.
Oh, you give up. What was I saying? Go ahead, explain it.
No.
You got to go to the bathroom.
That's right.
Oh, okay, bud. What are you, the keeper of the bathroom key now?
You're asking too many questions. She's getting nervous.
I've got a nervous stomach, and it causes nervous bowel.
So, she's eating Chinese food, she gets the...
Oh, look, I'll explain it. She gets the Chinese food, and get Carl Chedelia. Do we get
spit it out, will you, Porky?
Oh, is that Porkla or Porky?
That's a good question.
Porkla.
Okay, well, I don't recognize that. My name is Porky, man, so I don't just keep right on talking.
Okay, Porky, spit it out.
You're going to get Chef Carl Chedelia or not?
I'm going to get Chef Carl Chedelia. I don't know what you said.
Look, bud, knock it off.
Yes, sir.
Chef Carl Chedelia next on whether or not spicy chicken dishes like Szechuan chicken creates a perfect storm in your gut for belching. Why are we talking about this? I don't know, other than the fact that Margaret can't seem to hold these belches back, and I got to get in chefs, scientists, cops, I got to bring in doctors, coroners, I got to have people testify to things until, you know, so she can be convinced to not eat Chinese food before we go on the air. Unreal. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Oh, so now you're making enemies.
No, I'm not making enemies of any. These are people that it wouldn't matter what I said. Doesn't matter what I say. You know, they got their little feelings hurt somewhere along the line, and, you know, they're doing what they're doing, okay? Now, this other guy I'm talking about is the guy that has broken the law. This is the guy that I'm going to make an example out of, okay? And then there will be others, too. And that guy that runs that fan site where he allowed all those...
Now, don't even go there, man. You know what? I don't think there's any traffic over there anyway. You know, he went over there one time.
What are you talking about?
There's no real traffic. I mean, they might put a link up and get like three people.
Yes, and I think that you are good, but you're not that good, Phil, because it only attracts three people.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. That's not got anything to do with me. That has to do with how many people are over there then.
Well, then what are you getting all bent out of shape? You know, why are you getting upset?
I don't know, it's just...
Yeah, relax, you know, just take a chill pill on the whole deal and chill out.
Yeah.
Fine, I'll chill out. All right, anyway, welcome back to the show, 877-876-PHIL and philhenryshow.com. Now, Chef Carl Chedelia is going to join us, and the chef is going to talk with us about the food of the bake-off or something. Man, I don't know what the hell it was that we were going to talk about. Was it cooking or fat or something like that? Chef Chedelia, how you doing, sir?
Bill, I'm very, very excited to be with you here. And, we're in Philadelphia right now at the Spectrum, as you know, and we're hearing the good things about the bake-off. It's going to be starting tomorrow.
All right, now, okay, so you're there for the bake-off, and this is the Eastern Seaboard Bake-Off, and it is the baking competition for cakes, donuts, things like that?
Yeah, there's nothing, this is going to be strictly for baking. And most of it is a cake competition, so that's chocolate cake. And that's what I'm going to be doing, is chocolate cake. And it's going to be delicious. And,
now, you've done a lot of these competitions.
We've done half a dozen of them. And my bakery, which is located in San Francisco, and there are bakeries, and there are pastry chefs, and there are cooks from all over America that are going to be entering the Eastern Seaboard Bake Off tomorrow.
All right, now we have another one of the guys that's going to be competing, Brad Rifkin from Las Vegas, who has the Rifkin Advertising Agency. And Brad is joining us on our newsmaker line as well. Brad, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing very good, thank you.
Brad, what are you going to be presenting?
Well, as fate would have it, I think that Carl knows this. We're going to be having a chocolate cake, a seven-layer chocolate cake with whipped cream, swimming in whipped cream with a thick chocolate icing.
That sounds delicious, too, I was telling you.
Well, and what are you going to be doing?
I'm going to make a chocolate cake. But it's always still, it's the difference in the recipe. The recipe is delicious, you know.
Yeah, well, okay, I'll just tell you, we're going to use, for our chocolate cake, we're going to use butter. Butter is it's beautiful. Butter keeps it light and it keeps it fluffy.
Hold on for a minute. Butter keeps it light and fluffy. And what do you say to that, Carl?
Well, I'll tell you, Phil, I think that butter is the poor man's word to a good chocolate cake. I love to use wine.
Yeah, I wouldn't use lard.
You wouldn't use lard, and you wouldn't make a good chocolate cake either.
I think I will make a good chocolate cake.
All right, we got Brad Rifkin with us and Chef Carl Cedilia, who will be in the Eastern Seaboard Bake Off tomorrow at the Spectrum in Philadelphia. I didn't know that that was still in existence.
The Spectrum in Philadelphia has been in existence for a long time, yeah. And they have it for antique shows. They had a horse and buggy show here. Anything, yeah.
Yeah, usually a flea market or something, but they're going to have the bake-off here, and there's a lot of people here for the bake-off.
So what we're talking about here is a difference in the ingredients. You are relying mostly on butter, and you say that that makes the cake light and fluffy, and you, Carl, rely on lard because you feel that's a more substantial cake?
Yeah, it's more substantial cake. It's thicker, weighs more. And I cannot for the life of me understand why people... not going to use that.
I wanted to jump in here, Phil, because Chef Cedilia and I were in a competition in Miami last spring, and I have to ask him, and I will ask him in front of you, and Carl, you know what you did.
I know what I did. I knew it was a chocolate cake.
Yeah, I know it was a chocolate cake, but what happened was he lost... He lost to Stephen Temple, which is a pastry chef out of Chicago who made a chocolate cake. And you lost for using the lard, and Stephen used butter, and he had a nice, light, fluffy cake.
I lost because Stephen Temple... the cake is really not chocolate enough. But I don't know. I think he had influence with the judges.
He didn't have no influence with the judges. He didn't have no influence with the judges. He won fair and square. And what Chef Cedilia did, he just grabbed handfuls of the cake that he had baked and started shoving it down his pants. You remember what you did?
Well, I did, though. I said, I love chocolate cake.
Now, I know you love chocolate cake.
I love chocolate cake. And I said that I felt wronged, and I felt...
Now, let me ask you a question, Chef Cedilia.
Yeah, sure.
You grabbed handfuls of chocolate cake and started shoving it down your pants. That sounds like a guy that's upset.
I was upset, but I was also... I wanted to demonstrate to the judges how much I love chocolate cake. And Stephen Temple got into the competition because there was a cash prize that his brothers won the judges. You hear what?
So Stephen Temple's brother's one of the judges, but his cake did taste good. It tasted better than yours, you know?
No, it didn't. You know it didn't. You know that my cake tastes so good. I use a lard.
No, it doesn't taste good when you use lard.
I can tell you, Carl, lard and shortening in cakes makes it very heavy. I don't like it.
I'm talking professional, and I took a cake, and I think they should have been expecting that, you know?
I don't think they were going to expect a guy getting so upset that he lost the bake-off that he starts shoving big chunks, big handfuls of chocolate cake down into his pants. It was the most demented thing you ever saw, Phil.
No, hold on for a minute, because you don't understand a statement. I said to Stephen, I said to Mary Temple, I said, I love chocolate cake.
He didn't care that you love chocolate cake. It doesn't matter. It wasn't a competition for loving chocolate cake.
I said, I love a chocolate cake. And look at how much I love it. I live it. I'll sit in it. And that's what I said, Phil. I love chocolate cake so much, I'll sit in chocolate cake. Even if it's uncomfortable and it gets way up there, you can imagine how uncomfortable it is. To convince them, the love of a heart.
Hey, do you have chocolate cake in your mouth right now?
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like...
Give me some milk, will you?
Tell me to give you milk? I'm not your boy.
Give me milk.
Here's some milk.
Yeah. I'll put chocolate cake in my mouth, Bill.
All right, look at you shoved handfuls of chocolate cake into your pants to convince the judges that you love chocolate cake. Is that true?
It's not exactly true, but...
Come on, Jen, Carl, that's exactly what it was.
All right, it's true in essence, yeah. Because I felt wrong.
You felt what?
I felt wrong. He says he felt wrong.
All right. Now what we have is chauvinist, and you're trying to justify this by saying that you love chocolate cake so much that you'll sit in it. Is that what you said?
Yes, but when I said it, it sounded sensible.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it did, but as Mr. Henry is saying it,
I said it to the judge. I said, I'm willing to sit in it. And I believe that I have a convince.
You might have had them convinced, but as you just admitted yourself, when I say it to you now in the stark, cold glare of this radio show, it sounds pretty weird.
You better believe it sounds weird. You say to a guy, I love chocolate cake so much, I know what I said. Well, what did you say? I said I love chocolate cake. I love it. I love a similar chocolate cake so much that I'll sit down into it. I'll sit into a bowl of mix. So it gets right up there, didn't you?
What is it with this show?
What?
I'll tell you what it is.
What are you talking about?
No, hold on. Every time we get a guest on, it usually winds up this guy's got something up his rear end.
I was going to say something, but I...
Well, I don't do it for that prurient reason, you know?
I don't, you know, you may not do it for prurient reasons, but it's a ridiculously silly, dare I say, mentally diseased way of expressing your love for chocolate cake. How about making a good chocolate cake?
I make a damn good chocolate cake. I love a chocolate cake. Yeah, you make a damn good chocolate cake. I don't know if you know, Chef Giordilli, he's a good chef, but cream, butter. Why don't you use butter with a chocolate cake? Because butter's not hot enough for the chocolate cake. Come on, stop it. God, I don't know. You know, he's disgusting the way he talks, but now I want a chocolate cake because it sounds like you've got it jammed in your throat. And I got a chocolate cake over here, Lama. Yeah, I'd like a piece. Yeah. All right. Well, so I said I'll sit down and take bets. And the judge said it'd be okay.
So the judge bought it?
The judge didn't buy it. They remanded him for a psychiatric observation. Why do you have to say that? What the fuck you have to say that? Come on, they remanded you for 72-hour psychiatric. You know they did. God, this is a great cake. Are you using lard with this? No, this is your cake. I didn't cook this. My cake's over here. I'll eat my cake. Oh, you have my cake. All right, give me some of your cake.
All right. Very good, gentlemen. So what we have here is that you're going inside for 72 hours for observation.
That's right. So right after competition, I'll go in for 72 hours. But then I'm back out again, and I'll have a cake competition in St. Louis. Yeah. We're all set for the St. Louis, the big bake-off in St. Louis as soon as he gets out of the... psychiatric receiving center. And,
boy,
What's wrong?
Well, it doesn't bode well for your profession as a cake chef or,
Call us cake chef. We're pastry chefs, we're baking chefs, you know, that kind of deal.
Okay, that's fine, but, we'll all be set for the bake-off in St. Louis as soon as he gets out of the psychiatric receiving center. Hello?
Lost him.
That's okay.
Well, I want to hear more of the interview. He's going where?
He's going to be in a psychiatric. The judge has said he's got to go inside for 72 hours.
Well, that I understand, but I just wanted to know what that entails. And he's going to be out in time for this other bake-off.
Yes, he'll be out in time for the St. Louis bake-off. Chef Carl Chedilia, along with Brad Rifkin on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Good luck to both of them. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. I was just looking at our picture. I'm always obsessing over these things, you know, obsessing over the video, obsessing over the audio.
You know, Phil, you're not an engineer. You are taking on far too much. You're taking on the role of a police officer. You're taking on the role of security. You're taking on the role of a technician. You're taking on the role of a video technician. You're taking on the role of... My God, when are you going to just give it over? Give it over to the Lord, Phil. Oh, hold on. I'm sorry.
Well, that's really getting ridiculous, all right?
Don't you dare yell at me. That's a natural bodily function.
Yeah, you don't do it on a radio. Everybody knows that.
Yeah. Okay?
Oh, look at you taking your cue from Dickman.
I'm not taking any cue from Dickman. He happens to know a couple of things. Excuse me, Belch. Weren't we going to talk to Chodilly about this? That's what we were going to talk to him about.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, he's going in the nut house, so...
Yeah, he's going in the... Oh, man.
See, there you are laughing. You claim to be...
Well, it's serious, but... By the same token, I asked you, Bud, to get on a chef so we could talk about the effects of certain foods, certain ingredients, certain spices on the stomach's chemistry, because we know we have biotics, to use your way of speaking, Margaret.
Well, what do you mean, my way of speaking?
Y'all going, you go like, biotics, you know?
I do. That is a form of emphasis. I've told you morons that.
God.
Oh, quit acting hurt. I've told you, knuckleheads, if I've told you once, I've told you a million times, I stress words because I want you to remember them. So that when I say, for instance, antibiotics, you see?
Yeah, thanks. You just spit what looks like pastrami.
Yeah, I got a little bit on me, too.
What? So I eat good deli? That's a crime. Oh, boy.
You eat good deli. You're belching up Szechuan. You're spitting pastrami. Last night, you cut a fart.
If there's a God in heaven, I should be able to run you through with a saber and be celebrated for it. Literally be given a parade.
I guess there isn't a God in heaven.
Don't you laugh, damn you. You're talking about God.
Sorry. And I don't know why you want to run me through.
Why? You're bringing up my eating habits, Phil.
You're belching on my show. And, Margaret, I don't understand. I guess you think that there is some kind of a new day dawning or something, huh?
What's that supposed to mean?
What it means is you think there's a whole new way of being, of presenting oneself in the broadcast business. You belch. You spit pastrami all over people, you know.
And there you are, just so you bring up some failings of mine and then do a little bit of a giggle.
Yeah, well, it is pretty funny if you think about it.
Well, that will never happen with you, will it?
All right, so, thank you very much, Margaret. God. World-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. All right, so getting back to what we were doing tonight, which was, I think, some news items and looking at, what's happening. A flight attendant was fired for giving the finger, and she denies that she ever really did give the finger. The flight attendant was fired for a finger in a photo. She actually is fired for the finger, denying that this finger was in the photo, flipping the bird, okay?
Oh.
A flight attendant fired for the finger? Yes, a former Russian stewardess with Aeroflot Airlines.
Well, there's your problem. Phil, don't stare at me like that.
Don't do that! A Russian stewardess with Aeroflot Airlines allegedly flipped the bird at unsuspecting passengers and was later terminated. Apparently, the woman was sacked after her employer got word the obscene photo was posted on a social media site. However, the woman denies the mysterious hand is hers. Monday, the company released a statement. According to the February 6th Telegraph report, that's a British newspaper, Tatiana Kotsenenko continues to blast the reason why her former boss gave her the boot. The flight attendant fired for the middle finger photo claims she is not the person in the picture whose hand is snapped, flipping the bird at unwary passengers. The picture in question was posted on Vodka Tax, Russia's equivalent to Facebook, in late 2011.
Right.
That's what it's called.
Well, it can't be any good.
I don't know. It's what Russia uses.
Why do they use...
No, they don't let nobody use Facebook on account of communism.
There ain't no communism in Russia anymore.
What did you do it for?
I don't know. Maybe it's some... You know, what those countries basically did, when I say those countries, China and Russia, as soon as they sort of opened the doors to capitalism and to competing, first thing they did is they started stealing everything. You know, they started ripping off copyrights, they started ripping off patents. China is, like, just shameless, man. They steal everything. And then they resell it to their, you know, billion and a half people market. So it's a lucrative market, and they don't know from, you know, excuse me, you just ripped off. You know, did I ever tell you when I met Matt Groening of The Simpsons? He took me into his office and showed me all the bootleg stuff.
So he didn't mind?
No, he minded, but he got to a point, he's like, look at all this stuff that they, he said, this is, It represents all this stuff that is illegally manufactured. You know, we have the copyright and we have the patent or whatever it is, trademark on Bart Simpson. And he had all these Bart Simpson dolls that were made in Russia, made in China.
Yeah, they make them all a lot of countries where they get away with it. Like in what's the one country we were talking about? Slovenia, right?
Yeah, they make them in places like Slovenia and Slovakia and Slobodovich or something like that. I forget the name of it.
What is it with you guys with Slobodovich?
Well, generally, impoverished countries start with an SL. That's well known.
Not Switzerland. Oh.
Switzerland? SL.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. What do you mean that's a given?
It is a given that if you live in a toilet, and I'm sorry for putting it that way, but if you live in a country where you can get your throat cut just going down to the store for a tub of, okay, shortening or lard, the country that you're going to the store in starts with an S and an L.
Well, there's only like two, Slovenia, Slovakia.
Well, Phil, I don't know all of them. I'm sure there are more.
What about Slobodia?
I've never heard of Slobodia.
No, there's no Slobodia, okay?
You don't know.
Yes, I do. There's no Slobodia. And I don't know that it's if you live in a country where you're going to get your throat cut going down to the store for lard.
Yeah, well, you were the guys that were going on and on about the joys of lard. My God, if you would have kept on going, I would have gotten up and left and called the FCC because...
Why?
I know where that was going.
Where was it going?
No comment.
You got some mind, Margaret, I'll tell you.
Don't shake your head at me. You're talking about lard. Where else is it going to go?
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Talk about jail time?
Yes, jail sex is one area. There are certain heterosexual uses for it.
All right, thank you very much, Margaret. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
And then he embarrasses me by going, thank you very much, Margaret.
Our number 877-876-PHIL, and a momentous evening tonight where a citizen has gone from the anonymity of Twitter and the anonymity of his Twitter handle, and he's gone into full flower as a criminal. His name, I blasted it on our feed here off air. I've mentioned his first name. He is employed by the Alabama Air Guard. At least that's the most recent. He's also employed, or has been, he claims. Probably most of the stuff that's on his resume is completely made up. He's got a degree, actually, and has a profession, but he wants to be on the radio. He desperately wants to be on the radio, and he wants to do what I do, and he wants to work with me, and I think he wants to be my wife. I got to be honest with you. And I've rejected him on all scores.
Well, how do you know he wants to be your wife?
Because no guy follows another guy like the way this guy follows me unless there's something sexual going on. And nothing against gay people, but if I see this guy, if I actually see him and I recognize him, I'm gonna do some damage to the guy. I'm just telling you right now. I'm going to do physical damage to him, and there's nothing he can do to stop it. I don't care if he's packing. I don't care if he's got guns. It doesn't matter. He doesn't understand. So he's gone. He's crossed over now. He's a criminal. Just like that. And I think what we're going to do is put a call into your parents, John, and see if we can't get them to intercede. Not that it's going to save you from going to jail, but maybe, you can have a life. I doubt it, though. You're pretty stupid. You're pretty stupid, man. You've made nothing but mistake after mistake after mistake. And why is this? Because I've rejected you sexually.
God, man, you're going to make this guy...
I'm telling you. What else is it? What else is it? I've never seen anything like it before in my life. The guy is a freak, man. You know, and the one way of dealing with a guy like that, you either put him in jail, you better get, our close personal friend from Twitter, Phil the Thrill, you better go get this guy, Phil, because I'm telling you, if I see him anywhere near me, I'm going to straighten those buck teeth of his. I tell you what I'll do, I'll just knock them out of his face. That way they won't be buck teeth anymore. You can go and get yourself a new set of teeth, man. You need them. Believe me.
So the guy's got the Bucky Beaver?
Yeah, he does. And like most of those guys, those psychopaths, even though he's got a kisser on him that makes him look like he could eat corn on the cob at arm's length through a picket fence, this guy thinks he's God's gift to women, I think. He hates women. Can't stand them. And he wants to be me. He's got all these multiple personalities on Twitter, and he doesn't really know how to do it. And, you know, you can tell they're all the same. Talking about writing bits. Dude, just go back to your job making maps, okay? Writing bits. What is it? We're living in a world, you know, I saw somebody said the other day, says everybody's a comedian. No, really, everybody's a comedian.
Well, everyone likes to be in show business.
Well, not everybody can be in show business. There's people who are in show business, like me, because this is what I'm supposed to do. Then there's people like this moron that should be doing the moron stuff that he does. And instead, he wants to, you know...
wants to be your wife.
Among other things, yeah. All right, Jay Sam is going to join us from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Kind of an interesting thing that we're going to be talking with Jay about, and that is the... this drone situation. I don't know whether or not you guys have been hearing this or not, hearing the news, but the United States government, in the person of the president and the executive branch, has basically said that they're going to use drones, and those are those automated, if you will, robot devices, mostly flying planes, that go into small areas, into places where you might not be able to navigate a larger aircraft, and with a variety of weaponry at the disposal of the operator, can neutralize whatever the target. They can, I think they can pack some kind of explosive. I think there's the ability to actually fire rounds. Maybe they have some mounted or built-in machine guns. With us is Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Now, Jay, there's some question as to the efficacy, not so much the efficacy, but the legality of these things.
You just use, when you say the efficacy, and hold on, I just want to check if that's a word. My wife's going to check, why don't you call up your mother? Well, find out whether that's a word, Phil, that people use. If it's a word that everybody uses, then I'm going to have to pretend like I, you know, didn't hear you. If it's a word that people don't use, then we'll go ahead and look it up. What's that?
What are you talking about?
She don't know. Yeah, we don't know what that is. What's efficacy?
Effectiveness. Effective. Is it effective?
All right. First of all, the drone program, I don't even know what you were saying.
All right, Jay, I tell you what, you just go ahead and talk about the drone program as it applies to the civilian populace of the United States, as it applies to police efforts against terrorists. What do you think of that? As a Citizens Auxiliary Police officer, you're not really a sworn police officer. You're more of a volunteer group. How is this going to be dealt with by you?
Well, the first thing is we're going to have to do something about people on the radio that keep saying to us that we're a volunteer. That makes it sound like kind of rubber bullet cop. I think we're a little bit more than a rubber bullet cop, Phil. I think we're a community resource that's very interested in, you know, doing the very best that we can for our community and help the police take a look around and take a little peek around. And what we do is we then take a look at what the police is using. And the drone, we think, is a very good We think it's a very good asset. And if you've been around military operation, if you have been around the wars that they had on TV, like when they had on the Gulf War, and they also had some TV pictures of the Iraq War, the word asset is one that is used, and it means, you know, stuff they've got, you know.
Well, yeah, asset is, yeah, it's part of the arsenal.
Yeah, I don't know what arsenal is.
Well, Jay, you don't know the meaning of some of these. This is Margaret. You don't know the meaning of some of these words?
I know. I know what a gun is.
Arsenal is where weapons are stored. Efficacy is whether it's effective. I don't know what you want me to say.
Well, what I'd like you to do, Mr. Hammer, is let's talk turkey, okay? Let's talk turkey. Let's talk reality. Now, I know that you want to talk about the drone, and you want to ask whether I, as a Citizens Auxiliary Police member, backs the drone, and I do. Would we use it with the Citizens Auxiliary Police? Yes, we would. It's one of the most valuable law enforcement tools that we could possibly have. So let's just cut through it and kind of trim around the bull crap and cut right down through it into it and get around it and go through it. Okay? Okay, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, let's do that, okay? And you've just got done saying to me that you believe in it.
Yeah, I believe in the drone program, and I believe in it for a number of reasons. Number one, you can negotiate small, tight areas. Now, when you're talking about a home with a very narrow margin between one wall of the home and another wall of another home, and there may be individuals inside the rooms of those homes that are parading in front of the windows. We've had these situations where the women, when their husbands is out of town, and the women want to get their cheap thrills and get their, you know, jollies off, and they walk in front of the window, and they're not, you know, there's no brassiere. There is no evidence of any brassiere. And so what we do is we called our helmet cam. You made fun of it. Other people made fun of it.
Yeah, I made fun of it because you had on a construction helmet and you said you scotch taped a camera.
I didn't say scotch tape.
Now, that's true. He did say masking. Did you say masking tape?
I said, but we taped it. Probably used, you know, packing tape.
Yeah, this is what you use, that gray packing tape?
Yeah.
Okay, so you use packing tape to tie the camera to the helmet.
Yeah, but we used the tape so that it looked like the Citizens Auxiliary Police insignia, which is a gray stripe. So we have a gray racing stripe on our helmets. And when we go out on a pith helmet, you know about a pith helmet, Mr. Henry?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
What's wrong, Jay?
He goes, yeah. He went, yeah.
Phil.
Will you stop? Jay, I didn't mean to offend you.
Well, I'm trying to get to the bottom of what you want me to get to my bottom. Not get to my bottom, but you want me to get to the bottom of it, right?
Yeah, get to the bottom of it.
Get to the bottom of what?
Get to the bottom of what we're...
Well, you're confusing him and you're frightening him.
Yeah, he's getting scared.
What is he, 6 years old or something? Jay, tell me about the drones. You like them. You say they can get into tight spaces. You were telling me that there are people... All right, so we're talking about exhibitionists, right?
We're talking about exhibitionists. We're also talking about something that's very real. When not just a woman whose husband's out of town, she decides she wants to get a jolly, wants to go get her Jolly Rancher. That's what we call, you know, it's a JR, and generally a JR means we have to release four officers to a JR. And
what's a JR?
He just said she's getting her jollies. They call it a Jolly Rancher.
It's called Jolly Rancher. Okay.
Yeah, that's great.
All right, and what was with the pause?
Don't worry about it. It's great. Go ahead.
All right, so. When we send the officers out, we want to have every capability, we want to have every asset at our disposal. And the drone, which can be operated from the automobile, so the drone takes off the way that we would use it, the drone will take off from the trunk of the car. And generally, my car is a regular sedan. The subcommanders drive their wives, well, I shouldn't say their wives, but they drive SUVs, and Broncos and everything like that, and a Bronquette and like that.
Okay, so, but they're, all right, so they have these SUVs.
Right, and they have the sign that says, I drive a sedan. Well, the drone is released from the way I envision it is I push a button, and the drone's released from the trunk of the car, and I use the rheostat to direct it to the bedroom window and to hover at the window and take a variety of pictures. While being not seen.
All right, how do you fly something from the trunk of your car over to the window where the woman is standing nude and not have it be seen?
Well, I think that's pretty easy. I mean, it's not really the hardest thing in the world to do. Mr. Henry, what you do is you flip down the... you open the secret door and...
What secret door?
Well, you're going to put a secret door into the dash of the car. I forgot to tell you.
The door is secret. Why?
Because if my wife's using the car, I don't want her and her girlfriends fooling around with it.
Don't you take the drone out of the trunk?
Yes, but there are days I might forget if I fall asleep or if I pass out in the car. You know, we go out and have some beers. Haven't you ever passed out?
So you go out and have some beers.
But Mr. Henry...
No, hold on. You go out and have beers and pass out in the car and your wife gets the car?
Well, she's going to roll me out of the car. I mean, how many of us on a Saturday morning has not had your wife roll you out of the car? Of course you do. And you didn't have time to secure the drone.
Phil, don't look at me like I'm crazy. Jay is saying some very important things here.
Oh, will you give me a break?
Well,
Jay, you pass out dead drunk in the car. First of all, I've never passed out so dead drunk that my wife had to roll me out of the car in the morning. That's number one. But number two, what secure what drone? I mean, dude, don't you have a process whereby when you're done using these automobiles for their express purposes that you secure all this stuff?
Yes, I just got done telling you. What happens if we go out for the subcommander awards? What happens if we go out for subcommander of the week?
What's subcommander of the week?
That's an award we give to subcommander of the week. I'm going to go there in my staff car. All right. Do I take the flags off of the front of the car? Do I secure the drone? No.
The flags, huh? So you're sailing...
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm taking the humiliation. I can take anything you dish out. I'm twice the man you are.
That's from Thin Red Line.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
It is.
Okay, great. So you are sailing through town with the flags flying there.
Yeah, I forget it.
My God, Phil, do you ever reach the end of an interview?
Margaret, you should just not say anything.
Phil.
You should just not say a word. Don't say anything. Jay set himself up for that. You want to come on like a jackass, you're going to come on like a jackass. This guy is sitting here telling me all about flags flying, the drones in the trunk of the car. He's going to release it and fly it over to the bedroom window. Oh.
Man, that was pretty screwy, I'll tell you that.
Well, maybe I'm missing something.
Yes, you're missing a hell of a lot. I don't even think you listen to this guy. It is not feasible. It's something out of the Jetsons. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. And the government, or whoever sells these things, no way in hell, well, I shouldn't say never. I guess, you know, it could happen. No way in hell, though, in my opinion, do they allow one of these things to fall into the hands of some jackass with a citizen's auxiliary police. You know, you can get somebody killed. And he's going to fly it like he's... What does he think he's got here, man? One of those... What are those things, bud, you know?
Yeah, they got a remote control airplane and everything where the people fly.
I've seen those. That's no secret.
Okay, well, that's what he thinks he's got. And it's not. It's heavier, it's bigger, and it's deadly.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If you're a woman that walks in front of a window and you've got everything hanging out...
You deserve to die?
No. But you do deserve to have the hell scared out of you, I think.
All right. We'll be right back here, and what a fascinating conversation that was. Thank you very much, Jay. Wherever you are, it seems to me that you're probably hiding your head under a pillow right now. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Trouble.
I'm just... Oh, come on. I mean, he's a rough, tough guy. You tell me that's scaring him, man? You're not scared, are you, man? You're okay. He's not scared. He's a rough, tough guy. Well, I mean, he's trying to make people believe he is with all of those military credentials, huh? You know, that's why I've always believed that any guy in the military that touts his wartime experience... In other words, any guy in the military that taught, like there was that guy on Facebook. You remember that guy?
Yeah, he had his little helmet on.
Yeah. And he was going on and on and on about his Iraq war experience. And he's talking to a whole bunch of civilians on Facebook, you know. I mean, he's not even talking to other military guys for all he knows. He's just talking to a bunch of us. And we're just like, it was before the election. And we're all just, gee, I don't know, you know, and talking about it. And this dude comes, you know, waltzing in, Mr. Military. And he's got a picture of himself in the tank. And, you know, I respect our veterans immensely. I don't respect the ones that go off and start making all, you know, start telling their stories of combat and they saw this and they did that and they killed this and they killed that. I mean, I said to the guy finally, I said, every real veteran I know doesn't even want to go in there talking about this stuff. Or if they do, they talk about it with other vets. There's a specific reason for, you know, it's like, or they're asked and maybe reluctantly they tell you. But I've rarely ever met a veteran that just comes right out and starts volunteering all of this stuff, unless he's talking to a family member.
Well, I mean, you keep, now you're making more and more reasons why you're here.
Yes. You said you never met a vet, but now you said, well, unless he's...
In other words, not for public consumption, putting it on blast on Facebook is what I'm saying.
All right.
Any guy that starts, yeah, it's like the guy at the party. We've all met him. We've all met the drunk who said, listen, I can't say anything, but I got CIA connections. Oh, well, you know.
You don't believe them?
No, I don't believe them. Do you?
How do you know? Maybe they do.
You don't believe a guy saying he's in the CIA just because he said it?
No.
But what?
The guy...
I met a guy one time, and I don't know, it was right after 9/11. We were at a party, and this guy was Mr. Authority. And he said the following thing. He said, they got nuclear weapons. You better believe it. You better believe that Bin Laden and these people have got nuclear weapons. And I said, nah, I don't think so. I don't think they do. I think they want us to believe that. Well, he turned and he looked at me like a lot of these, you know, kind of megalomaniacs. And he just looked at like, who is this infidel? You know, who's this guy that dare challenge me? And I was just sitting there with my, drink. And I said, I don't think that they have nuclear weapons. I think that they would like to get their hands on them. No. And the guy turned on me and he's like, I happen to know, you know.
Oh, is that when he told you that he was in the CIA?
Well, he said, I happen to know because I've got connections. Let me tell you something, you know. They got him because I happen to know, and I got connections to, all right, let me just tell you, CIA, you know, he said it in some way that was just like, I'd be embarrassed if I were him. And I shook my head, got up and went outside and kicked a cat. No, I didn't. I didn't listen to it, you know.
Yeah, but what if the guy is?
Man, but you believe anybody in the CIA if they say they're in the CIA.
No guy is going to tell you he's in the CIA, man. No guy is going to say that. Why would he do that? Why would a guy, you know, if a guy's got this kind of secretive work, why would he do that?
Didn't you tell me there's people who work at the CIA all the time?
Yeah. So? They're not going to... the CIA has got a guy... The CIA uses all kinds of people. They use anybody. They use a citizen that's on... They'll use an American citizen who's traveling to Europe, let's say. And they'll approach the guy if they're going to say, you know, would you mind taking a look at some of these boxes and tell us what the return address is on them? Would you mind this? It could be...
Does that make them a CIA agent?
No, it doesn't make them a CIA agent. It makes them an informant of sorts if they agree to do it. All right, we'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, the final hour here, and philhenryshow.com. Commentator on Fox News, and Dick had a bad year because, you know, he was predicting in 2012 that Mitt Romney would win the presidential election, and he was wrong. And now, not only was he wrong, but he made an agreement to go on the Piers Morgan show and essentially, you know...
Well, and he's letting Piers Morgan interview him, and that's the same thing as willingly... volunteering for a gutting, a gelding, a disembowelment.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
I think that Piers Morgan's all that.
Well, I didn't say Piers Morgan is all that. I really don't know. You know, if I think about Piers Morgan long enough and hard enough, excuse me for saying hard enough, because now...
Well, you know something, Phyllis, that's the kind of thing that's misinterpreted.
If I think about Piers Morgan long enough... I would probably come to some conclusion as to, but I don't watch the show, and I don't avoid it. I just, it's on when I'm working, and I the last thing I'm going to do, man, leading up to the radio show, is sit down and watch any of that crap. I don't need to go into the radio show in a suicidal frame of mind. O'Reilly, Piers Morgan, all of those shows should only go off the air forever and ever and ever. I hate them so very deeply. Okay, but as long as this cat's on the air, so here comes Dick Morris, who I met years ago at some sort of a, what the hell was he doing?
I think you were there for the anniversary of 9/11.
Yeah, I was in New York for the anniversary of 9/11, one of the anniversaries, and a little guy came walking up to me. I'm not saying this to be, seriously, this was the first impression I had. It was like a guy, it was like a little guy, you remember the little guys who would walk up to you on the playground at school? Hey, Phil, you know what? And that's who it was Dick Morris. And he was a very nice man, and oh, now I know who this is. And he was very nice, and he said that he liked my show, and he asked me if I had any spare change, because...
No, I didn't.
I'm kidding. No, I know he didn't. No, he was a nice guy. But, now, you know, he has been just absolutely has had his ass ripped up one side and down the next for this whole, you know, not picking Romney. And all this stuff about this Sandy, you know, the impact of Sandy and what that did. So...
Well, he wound up looking like a real jackball.
Yeah, pretty much. Wound up looking like a jackball and couldn't call it right. And now I think he's making the mistake of mistakes. He is on TV with Piers Morgan. All right, moving on to something a little bit better. A judge, and I don't know if you saw this or not, but a judge threw some kid in jail for 30 days because she flipped him off. Now, that's the end of the story, but the beginning of it and everything that transpired from the beginning to the end of the story was quite amazing, and yet you have to understand that there are young people that...
Well, this is something, as a mother, I love these stories. I like to dig my fingers into stories like these. I really like to massage them, and I like to, as a mother of a 14-year-old son, as I report these stories, as I write these stories... I like to have Jason J. Delmonico somewhere nearby, and I say, now look, take a look at this and watch what I'm going to do to her now. Because what I do is I report the story and then I give it my spin, which is the same thing as if I were to tie her to the bumper and drag her. Now, I know that's an ugly image, Phil.
I'll say it's an ugly image.
Don't get on your high horse.
God!
No, but I figuratively will tie a kid like this to the bumper of my Mercedes and drag her down the street. Now, we don't have asphalt, we have cement. But, enough said.
All right, so how does that play into your son?
It doesn't play into my son.
No, but what are you doing? What is Jason J. Delmonico witnessing?
Well, no, I'm writing the story, and I'm saying, look at this, Jason J. I said, look, you want to see what I'm going to do to your girlfriend now? Watch this.
What do you mean, your girlfriend?
Well, because every teenage boy sees himself as the one that will tame the wild horse. He sees himself as the one that will tame the wild mare. This little trollop, this street girl, this thing that was in front of this judge, gave the judge lip, which I would have smacked the taste right out of her mouth. I don't know what the judge was waiting for.
Your judge is not going to... He can't hit her.
Well...
You know, the judge can't come down off the bench and smack her.
Well, he was, though, able to...
Yes, he uses the authority of the court. To me, that's better. But when you say that every 14-year-old boy sees himself as a savior of a girl like this, so your son, Jason J. Delmonico, saw the story.
Yes, he saw the story, and he saw his mother writing a follow-up, because I did a piece for the Dicklin Syndicate. And I called it, what did I call it? I said it was 30 days in the hole for a pre-hole. And I rewrote it, I worked with it.
Wait, 30 days in the hole for a pre-hole?
Yes, because I wanted to work in horror, and I wanted to... So I finally just said, 30 days for the pre-horror in the hole.
Yeah, I think I started in the Daily Smoke, or in the Santa Monica Smokeout.
Yeah. What's the Santa Monica Smokeout?
Oh, well, what's the Phil Hendry Show?
I'm sorry, I've never heard of it.
I'm sorry, I've never heard of the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, you're working on it.
The Santa Monica Smokeout, it's the smoke signal, not the smokeout.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's going to take the Daily Breeze, which is the Santa Monica paper right now, and it's going to turn it into wipe. All right? Does that spell it out for you?
All right. So it's a new paper.
It's a new paper with a very, very professional staff. I'm one of the editorial writers. I'm also one of the reporters. I also do some, not all, of the classifieds. And it sounds like we don't have a staff, the way I'm saying it.
Yeah, it sounds like you're doing everything.
Well, I'm not doing everything.
All right. Okay, so let's forget about that. The daily smoke signal?
No, the Santa Monica smoke signal.
It's the Santa Monica smoke.
I don't want it called the smoke because of the thoughts that go through your mind.
Margaret, you look it. Everybody knows what a smoke signal is, okay? It doesn't necessarily mean that when you use the word smoke that we've got to go down that filthy road again. God, there's so more words are getting, you know.
Well, I can't use any word at all because of Margaret.
Not, what do you mean because of Margaret? You're the ones that were talking. Wasn't it him that was saying, you know, where does it say polls, you know, blank, blank in the Constitution?
No, that was R.C. Collins, okay? Now, look.
Who?
R.C. Collins.
Who is he? Who's R.C. Collins?
The Bradley Military Academy, he's got Watson's his friend, and they're going to rip off Michael Myers' head.
What did he just say?
Never mind what he said. So, all right. In the Santa Monica smokeout, or the smoke signal, or the smoke.
It's the smoke signals. God.
All right. You've written a piece on the girl that flipped off the judge, and it's called what?
It's called 30 Days in the Hole for the Pre-Whore. I don't know. That's what I'm playing with right now.
Well, is it published already?
Yes.
Well, if it's already published...
You already published it? Then that's the title.
Don't tell me what to do with my life.
We're not telling you what to do with your... What's the name of the article?
Here. What's that say?
30 Days in the Hole.
Well, that's not what it's called.
Well, that's what it says here in the paper.
Well, I'm changing it.
All right, so 30 days in a hole.
No, 30 days for the whore in the hole. I like that. Get Frank on the line, will you please?
No, Margaret.
Get Frank on the line. 30 days for the whore in the hole. Yes.
All right. So she got 30 days. Your read on this was that the judge, I think you said the judge was... A bit moderate, right?
I felt he was. I felt the judge was a little moderate because I felt that the girl deserved much, much more. Phil, we're talking about a court of law, and we're trying to teach what's left of this generation of young people. We're trying to teach them the rights from the wrongs. We're trying to teach them the goods from the bads. Frank, is that you?
Yeah, Frank Gray.
Hey, Frank, it's Phil Henry.
And it's Margaret. Hello, dear.
Yeah. How you doing, young man?
Good, good, good. How are you?
I'm better than Custer.
All right. Margaret has something to ask you.
Frank, darling, the title of my article...
Yeah, 30 Days for the Whore in a Hole.
Right. Can we get that changed?
Oh, geez. Oh.
Oh, he's getting melodramatic.
I'm not getting melodramatic, Margaret. This is the second night in a row that you want me to call that editor up over there. Get her out of bed and have her go down and change the name of the GD article is 30 Days for a Whore in the Hole, okay? That's what you want to call him. That's what he's going to be, all right? He's a little, 15-year-old girl that made a terrible mistake, and you want to turn him what was the name of the guy on television? She had a sidekick named Chico.
Hopalong Cassidy?
Is it Hopalong Cassidy?
Yes, that's what you were going for.
No, I was not. I went for Krakatoa. I know what it was. Krakatoa East of Java.
Krakatoa East of Java was a movie about a volcano.
Right.
Well, that's not a Hopalong Cassidy.
Well, there was a cowboy or something, wasn't there?
Frank, think about it. It was a movie about a volcano. Now, look, what is wrong with the article?
I think the article from one side to the next, up one side and down the next, is an abomination in the eyes of God. I think she, if she were to come back again, if Jesus were to come back again and she read your article, she'd say to the Romans, please, crucify me now. Let's not even wait. And the Romans would say, well, don't you have a lot of nonsense? Jesus would say, yes, but I just read an article by Margaret Gray, and I don't know what he was thinking. I can't even use it as decent wipe. Please, hammer me up now, and let's get out of this thing let's get out of this in time for the Cubs game. I'm telling you.
What you just said there, Frank, I can't even believe you're my husband. That was the most sacrilegious thing. All right.
Margaret, the only thing that's sacrilegious about that is because I knocked the article that you wrote. That's what you think is sacrilegious.
I do not. I was asking you about the title.
I told you 50 times over the weekend what I thought of the title. I said 30 days in a hole for a whore is fine. And you said, oh, we got to rework it. And Bill Hendry here, was, I don't know what to say. I want to puke my living guts up, the stuff that's going on around here.
Well, I think, did we just lose our video cast? We just lost the video cast, yeah. I think we lost the video cast, and I'm looking at something up here that is jammed. Hold on for just a moment. So, what do you think of that, Margaret?
Well, what do I think of it? I'll tell you what I think of it. What I think is that it is an absolute unbelievable situation whereby Frank, who is my husband, who I love very much, and he is taking your side in this. That's what I find to be wrong.
Well, he's not taking my side in it. He's just simply saying that you are, enough with the titles, okay? Enough with the titles on the, enough with the titles on the article that has already been written about something that's already happened. And then, of course, every time we talk to Frank about this stuff, what do I get? I get Frank with the, gender confusion. He's flipping me out. He's, driving me ape. I don't understand what the hell it is he's talking about. I mean, the whole thing is just really messed up.
What do you mean you don't understand what he's talking about? What is that supposed to mean?
What is it supposed to mean? It means that I don't understand what he's talking about. She, he, him, Let's take a break. Yeah, I should have broke a long time ago. I should have broke emotionally a long time ago. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Global warming can be slowed by working less. Do you hear that?
Oh, that's horse dung, and you know it. It is absolute horse dung.
Well, I'm saying global warming can be slowed by working less. Let's see what else we have here. What is this? Okay, yeah, we had a little bit of... I apologize to my very fine feathered friends watching us on... our video cast, we had another disruption of service, but we are back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhendryshow.com. And I heard something really interesting yesterday that is a little whack, but it basically is this. There's a doctor who can read injuries that are going to occur in the human body by looking at blood cells. Now, here's the weird part. When he looks under a microscope at blood cells, he can see shapes of future events.
But
hold on, bud.
You gotta be putting me on.
Hold on. A woman had come to see him, and he read her blood cells. To me, it sounds... too kooky to believe, but a friend of mine was talking to me about this. He looked under the slide of her blood cells, and he saw a collection of cells in the shape of a head, a neck, the neck bones, the spine, and whiplash occurring. Now, I know it sounds crazy, and believe me when I tell you, I'm the most skeptical guy that there is. And one of the reasons why I'm skeptical is because I grew up during the, I came of age in the late 1960s when everything was, frogs raining from the sky. Everybody, it was just every kind of wild theory people put forward, you believed because it was the time of it's all a lie and you don't know what the government's been hiding from us. And if you think that this conspiracy thing is new, man, I mean, come on. Back then it was, oh my God, you don't understand, what they can do. So I came out of that very, very tempered against it. I sort of said, you know, I'm not going to believe a lot of these wild theories. And so here comes this theory about this guy is reading blood cells, and the form of the blood cells that he sees on the slide, he's seeing a head, he's seeing a neck, and he's seeing the head sort of being whiplashed. Well, guess what happened?
No.
Yes. 6 months later, this woman's in an automobile accident, and it was worse than whiplash. There was almost a decapitation. It didn't happen. And in point of fact, all it took was a neck brace, I think, and some intensive therapy. And there might even have been surgery involved. But there was an extreme injury to her neck in some kind of an automobile accident.
Now, wait just a minute.
I'm just telling. I'm not saying I believe it.
No, you're saying that he takes blood, puts it on a slide, looks at it through a microscope, and reads shapes like he's reading tea leaves?
Yeah.
Wow. You really want $300 worth, don't you?
Look, Margaret, I'm just telling you, I don't believe it.
Well, you're giving it. You gave us this story.
Yeah, you gave us this story. Let's get the real story, Mr. Henry, okay? You're giving me a lot of answers, but you're not giving me the right answer, okay?
What are you, Robert De Niro and Raging Bull? I'm giving you just the story that I heard.
Where'd you hear the story?
What am I, getting interrogated?
We want to know the truth, Phil. You're putting this out on the air. Where'd you get the story?
Don't point your finger at me.
Where'd you get the story?
Don't push me, bud.
Where'd you get it?
I got it from a friend of mine.
Who?
I'm not going to say.
Female?
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, I knew it.
A woman. You know, Phil, you're the biggest sucker. You're the biggest sucker for an ass in a pair of jeans.
Margaret.
No,
Yeah, I knew it. Look, Henry, you want to come in here, you know, give us all kind of a line and a dance and a song and a line. And
it's a song and a dance, okay?
No, well, you come on in here, man. Give me the pony and the dog. What do you call it?
Dog and pony show.
Dog and pony show. I'll tell you right now, wasting my time, wasting the resources of the radio show, and all you tell me about is see a lady's head? Man, you're crazy.
Yeah, get out of here, you punk.
Will you shut up? What are you guys, rehearsing for a play or something?
We got to know where you're getting this information, okay? Because if you're going to make us look like chumps, if you're going to drag us right down the crapper with you, we want to know where you're getting the information.
Margaret, I told you.
What's her name?
You blonde?
You guys really think that just because I'm talking to a woman that I'm going to believe every damn thing she says, right?
Well, don't you?
I used to.
Yeah, you used to.
I used to. I'm better now.
You're better now.
I'm just telling you. She told me this.
She told me. You are really a sucker.
All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. So I don't know, but I know there's a doctor attached to this, okay?
Oh, I'll bet there is. What mental hospital does he work at?
No, there is a doctor. His name is attached to this theory, to this thing, man. So I'm telling you, it's real, and if I had time, I'd look it up. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, I don't have any time, do you, Mr. Henry? Do you, Mr. Henry? Answer my question.
Shut up.
Phil Henry. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Well, here's one that obviously interests us here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Dark patch pinned down in the brains of killers and abusers.
Well, Phil, again, you get so excited.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. This isn't a woman. This is just what is it with you guys?
Every time a woman tells you something, you believe it.
No, bull crap. No, I don't. Okay?
If you like her, you do. You want to believe everything she says. Phil, we're worried about you because, well, I better not say.
Don't you dare. You happen to know something about me. Don't you dare.
It's good.
Don't
Don't close your fist on me, Phil.
Well, then don't be talking about stuff I don't want you to talk about. Okay?
I just want to see...
I'll hurt a woman. Do you think I won't do it? I will do it. I will hurt a woman.
You heard him, ladies and gentlemen. He was threatening violence tonight, and now he threatens violence against me.
Hey, what is up with the camera tonight, man? Do you see that? I don't know. There's something really, really squirrely about what's happening here. I don't know what it is, but... All right. I'm sorry to be stopping and starting, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm looking at my video cast and it's going nuts. All right, let's listen to this. Dark patch pinned down in the brains of killers and abusers. A German researcher named Dr. Gerhard Roth is now making headlines following his going public with the news that he had succeeded in pinning down the exact spot where evilness lies in an individual's brain.
Yeah, sure.
Boy, oh boy, you fall for anything, don't you? First of all, a German researcher named Dr. Gerhard Roth, even the writer of this article, is rolling his eyeballs.
Hold on. More precisely, the neurologist maintains that after analyzing the brains of several convicted killers and abusers, he came to notice that their central lobe displayed what he described as a dark patch. Yeah, maybe they ought to get some Tide or maybe some Clorox.
Good one.
Thank you. All right, take it easy. You're not at some testimonial, okay?
What do you mean?
You're not at some dinner where you're banging a mug on the table. It is his belief that these dark patches... Could we just hold off with the laughter, please?
All right, Bud, Robert, can it? Well, look at you.
All of a sudden, you're running the show, huh?
Don't be jealous.
I'm not jealous. It is his belief that these dark patches are a clear indicator of the fact that the people who commit atrocious murders and similar violent deeds more often than not only do so because this glitch in the makeup of their brain urges them to follow this course of actions. As Daily Mail reports, Dr. Gerhard Roth's precise statements on the matter at hand were as follows. When you look at the brain scans of hardened criminals, there are almost always severe shortcomings in the lower forehead part of the brain.
Yeah, they got a small head.
Well, don't say that, but you always are going for the filth.
Margaret, you're always noticing the filth.
No, I'm not. I've tried to train him so that he avoids certain very explosive and charged phrases.
Oh, I see. And the small head?
Yes, that's a very charged phrase.
So, if you want to talk about somebody having a cranium that is smaller, how do you say it?
I don't know that there is a way.
Yeah, so just don't say small head, bud.
Because it's dirty.
Exactly.
You know what? We're going to have a meeting after the show.
Wait just a minute, Phil. I told Frank we'd go out for a salad.
No, we're having a meeting after the show, so you can tell Frank to just sit in the car and he can wait.
How long will this be for?
I don't know, but we're having a meeting after the show.
We're going to Claim Jumpers.
I don't care if you're going to Claim Jumpers.
Claim Jumpers open? I want to go get a salad, too.
What happened to you? Did you all of a sudden take a railroad spike through the head? Say that again.
Instead of Claim Jumper open, I want to get a salad.
Man, there is something wrong with you.
No, there isn't.
He said his Claim Jumper's open. He'd like to go and get a salad, too.
Well, you're not coming with us. That's out.
We'll go together.
I'm not going to go with you. I got my own ride.
Oh, yeah, that thing that spits oil out there.
All right, will you cool it? Furthermore, there are cases where someone becomes criminal as a result of a tumor or an injury in that area, and after an operation to remove the tumor, that person was completely normal again. Now, we happen to know that this is true because we have the precedent of a variety of very well-known killers who wound up having some kind of a brain injury. In the case Charles Whitman, he had a brain tumor. He was the guy who was the Texas Tower sniper. In the case of one very noted serial killer in California, I forget his name, he had a brain injury or a head injury from his youth. There, you know, it's pretty weird, and it's almost uncanny when they go into the backgrounds of some of the people that have been convicted of these violent crimes, they find a head injury of some kind. They find a brain injury of some kind. They find some kind of trauma there. Despite the fact that these findings suggested violent behavior is the result of a faulty biological makeup, Dr. Gerhard Roth wished to draw attention to the fact that violent responses to various circumstances that an individual finds himself in are not necessarily automatic. In other words, there's always a choice to make, meaning that the brain can potentially find a way to compensate for and control these violent tendencies. Very important point.
What's that mean?
It means that even if you have a biochemical or a biologic tendency towards certain behavior because of this injury to your brain, you can still choose not to engage in that activity. Now, it'd be very interesting to go into that further. Exactly what are we talking about? It teaches us about choice and why do we make choices and how difficult is it for us to make one choice over another?
Well, I think it is very difficult to choose, for instance,
Well, how about...
Hold on. It's very difficult to choose...
Ms. Gray...
Hold on, I said. I'm thinking.
We've got a radio show to do.
Would you... It's difficult to choose...
What is it, choose?
Would you please shut up?
Margaret, come on.
Bill...
No, I'm sorry.
You are interrupting. It's difficult to choose... All right.
What is it with that choose? Because he's asking it, too.
What?
What are you saying, choo-woos?
Is there something wrong with you?
Man, Margaret, he's asking a question because you're going, it's difficult to choo-woos.
Yeah, you're stretching it out.
Yeah, wouldn't you like me to stretch it out? I don't know what you're talking about.
You, when you make a point, you go, it's difficult to choo-woos. You do that emphasis thing.
Oh, whatever it is that I do that bothers you, I'm going to do it more because... I've had it with you and him and it and all of you being highly critical of the things, okay, that I do woo. Now, I noticed I did it there. Is that what you mean? What, are you going to start to cry?
You look like you're going to cry, Mr. Henry.
I'm not going to cry. I just realized that I can't communicate with you. You just realized that you said chew woo?
No, I said do woo.
Yeah, she said do-woo, not choo-woo.
Is that right, Robert? Well, that's great. Well, you really got it down, man. She said do-woo instead of choo-woo, so I know I can trust you.
I'm trying to observe what you want me to observe.
I didn't ask you to observe that.
Yeah, so what's the point? She said choo-woo or do-woo. The point is that if a tree falls, well...
Yeah, if a tree falls in the woods, what?
If I said do-woo and you say I said choo-woo...
Now, look at this. See?
What?
It's David's line.
Yeah, we'll explain to him and everything like that.
Yeah, David.
What are you doing?
I'm not doing anything. I'm trying to figure out what she's talking about.
I'm down here at this bake-off, and I got Chedilia. And Chedilia is running around here shoving cake in his pants. And he said to me that you said it was okay. And he's using the name of the show. He's using the name of the company. Then I got Brad Rifkin over here. Brad, come here. What did you see, and when did you see it?
About 30 minutes ago, Phil and David, I saw Chef Carl Chedilia. He had lost another bake-off. This is the second bake-off that he's lost. He immediately took the lard-enhanced and lard-laden chocolate cake, which he had been, you know, as I told you when he said bait, and he took it and he crammed it in and everywhere, and then he said, I might as well be sitting in it. You heard that here, Phil? And
what are you doing, a report or something?
I'm trying to get to the bottom of what the hell's going on. I turned on the show minutes ago, and I'm listening to chew-woo, woo-woo-woo. And do you understand this, Brett?
My understanding is it's Ms. Gray emphasizes things.
Excuse me, I'll speak for myself, thank you very much.
Well, Ms. Gray, you're going chew-woo, woo-woo-woo.
What does that mean?
It means that she's emphasizing certain words, it's driving everybody nuts, and your phone call isn't helping. Thank you.
Now, wait a minute, Phil. Don't get tough with...
Okay, I'm all finished with you. You can... Everybody meet me in the conference room after the show, okay?
Are you kicking us out?
Yes, I'm kicking you out. You, and you. Meet me in the conference room after the show, Everyone's kicked out.
Golly, I didn't do anything.
Just man up, will you?
You want me to leave this?
Yeah, give me all that stuff, okay?
You want me to take this?
No, don't take that. That's my coffee.
There, that's a parting shot.
Yeah, it's very adult.
Well, Phil, you know, I'm trying to emphasize. I said, chew, woo, 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 and...
Yeah, I'll see you guys in the conference room.
Whatever.
Had to kick them out. They were driving me ape. And that call from Hall. That Hall from Call. I don't know what I'm saying. All right, we'll be right back. World famous. Phil, thank God I've still got my coffee. And this is damn good coffee. This is the Turkish stuff, baby. Don't ever let them take that away from you. They can take a lot away from you, man, but they'll never take that away from you. The Turkish stuff. We'll be right back. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
So basically what that means is the dark patch means that there's some predisposition, you know, to being a mental case, which takes me all the way back to the Ed Gein thing. And when I was reading about that, what are you guys doing?
Just sitting around doing nothing in there.
I don't want you in here, I'm telling you.
Well, you're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. Get out of here. Okay, so it's going to be like that, huh?
Yeah.
Anyway, the dark patch that they saw in this CAT scan indicates some kind of a malformed part of the brain.
You asked for it.
Are you doing that on purpose? I mean...
No.
But you asked for it.
But no, 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 I didn't ask for anything. I didn't ask for that.
I've got a problem.
No, you're doing it with his mouth.
No, I'm not.
So the biology. I'm gonna kick your ass. I'm gonna go Christian Bale on you people. Then you'll know.
You're not gonna go Christian Bale on me,
Margaret. Would you get out of here, all of you? Get out of here. In any event, so it indicates there's injury to the brain, and that can affect behavior, and there you go. And so I just wanted to follow up on that because people were asking about the choice thing. All righty. What else have we got here for you this evening on this very squirrely night? Now, today I went and did another episode of Rick and Morty, so look for that there on Adult Swim. It's a brand new animated show. It's very funny. And Justin Roiland is one of the producers along with Dan Harmon. It's our second week working on the show, having a blast doing it. The other thing that was mentioned on our Facebook fan page, and we're going to probably be writing more and more about it, is a new biopic on Vanessa Del Rio, the famed adult actress, the adult film actress Vanessa Del Rio, who has quite the story, a young girl from Brooklyn, New York, in, you know, very poor circumstances. And she, unlike a lot of her contemporaries, did not enter the world of adult films and pornography. She did not enter that world against her will, or she wasn't conned into it. She wasn't somehow manipulated and white-slaved. She chose it. She enjoyed it. She made a lot of movies, and she made a lot of money. And... Thomas Mignon, the director of this, optioned the story. So I think it's going to be interesting, and I'm going to be working in that film. As I mentioned to you, we talked to David Vincent from Morbid Angel and other people, and that's going to begin production sometime this year. But I thought it was really interesting because here is a story of a woman, a female, in the world of adult films. And the story is not one of, I don't know what you would call it. It is not a story of abuse. It's a story of she made this life choice. And today she's retired. She's married. She lives on Long Island. She's involved in animal rights.
What is it about older women with animal rights?
What are you, have you guys been standing there all this time? Look at you guys, you're standing in a row.
No, just thought maybe you need the help.
What is what?
What is it about women with animal rights? I'm a woman, I'm pushing 60. I love animals, but I'm not about to have animal dung and feed bowls and this kind of thing throughout my house.
I don't know. There's a lot of women, famous women, that are into animal rights, like Brigitte Bardot, right?
No, I think that's Gina. Well, we discussed this the other night. It's Gina Lola Brigida. It's Gina Lola
Gina Lola Brigitte Bardot.
No, it ain't Gina Lola Brigitte Bardot. Why do you... You know, but some things just aren't funny, okay?
I'm not trying to be funny.
Well, what is it?
Gina Lola Bridget... No, I don't know. I thought it was Brigitte Bardot.
Is it Gina Bardot? It could be Gina Bardot.
What? Are you guys doing this on purpose?
I'm telling you...
I know, Margaret, that there's an actress. I think it's Brigitte Bardot. Then there's Doris Day.
Who's she?
She was an actress.
In porn?
No, not in porn. Okay?
Well, I heard some stories.
I don't care the stories you heard, because we're going to get sued, all right? You understand?
Speaking of lawsuits.
Well, and then there is, you know, Ms. Del Rio and others. And it's kind of an interesting... Oh, I know who else. Kim Novak.
Kim Novak is into animal rights?
Yes.
You're kidding.
No.
Well, that's surprising, because I've been to party after party with her where she got her kicks. You saw the Michael Moore film, right?
Which one?
Roger and Me, where the rabbit is fed to the snake. Kim Novak got her laughs at parties doing that.
Oh, would you get out of here?
I swear to God.
Kim Novak, she feed up. A rabbit to a snake at a party?
For laughs.
This is how she got her jollies.
You know what, Margaret? You're cracking me up, because that story is so funny. It's so ridiculous it's funny. But you really believe that you're telling the truth, right?
No. Phil, all I'm trying to do is make it to midnight without being bored to death by whatever it is you're trying to say. I'm sorry I had to just tear you down like that. What's so funny?
What's so funny? Kim Novak, for laughs at parties, fed rabbits to snakes. Oh.
I'm sure that's funny to old people who know who she is.
Okay, bud, fine.
But we don't know.
Fine. Nonetheless, there seems to be that phenomenon of animal. You know, I one of these days I'm going to get a dog, if for no other reason than, you know, I want something that can tear the throat out of anybody that's trying to break in. No, I'm kidding. One of these days we'll get a dog. I'll get a dog when I got the time for a dog. But they tell you that you're supposed to get a dog that meets your own temperament, right?
Exactly. That's what the Dog Whisperer says. You should get a dog that is a lazy slob. And it's not because you're a lazy slob yourself, Phil. But you just move very slowly.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, you ought to get a St. Bernard to win a slobber.
A St. Bernard? Are you nuts, man? Those things eat like... How much do you think it costs to feed a St. Bernard?
Well, it costs a lot of money.
Yeah, but the St. Bernard and you, two of you guys, that's perfect.
They do seem to have the same pace as you.
Are you trying to tell me that that's what I look like, a St. Bernard?
I didn't say look like.
No, but I mean the pace that I set in life is like a St. Bernard?
Yeah, pretty much.
I like St. Bernards. I think they're fantastic. They slobber too much, and to feed them, good God, what is it, about $1,000 a month or something?
What? You know, all you gotta feed a St. Bernard is a cut-up steak and hot dogs. Go down the store and get the bulk steak, hot dog, and chuck roast.
And are you listening to what you're saying? That'll break me, for sure. Chuck roast, steak, hot dogs. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now I'm hungry. Produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. And don't forget, we're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. So you can get yourself a backstage pass and enjoy the great many wonders that is the Phil Hendry Show. Until tonight at 10 o'clock Pacific, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.